Hello, hey, welcome back to another episode of the Mimi Moments podcast. Today I'm here with one of my best friends in life, Sophie, and she's gonna tell us about her experience being one of us, being African, being Muslim, and still living your best life and doing the things that you wanna do to make you happy and still having your family by your side through it all. And I know I'm not the only one who wants to figure out how the hell did she do it? So we're gonna talk about that right now. Everyone say hi to Sophie. Sophie, say hi.
Hi. Hello, everyone. So excited.
Yeah. I'm excited to be here.
Yay. Okay. So we're going to get started. Stay tuned if you want all the information on how she did this. Okay. So we're going to get started. First, I want you to tell everyone, where are you from?
So my family is from Senegal, West Africa. We speak Soninke, even though Wolof is like the main language in Senegal, but we set up a list. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just like me.
Yes.
And where were you raised?
So it's like two worlds, because I was born in America, right? But then it's like your family decides like, hey, you got to go back home so you can meet the family and you can be familiar with the culture. So I ended up going to Senegal when I was around 4, and I was there for about like 5 years. So I came back. Actually, no, I was there for 4 years. I came back when I was 8. And when I came back, I ain't speak a lick of English. I didn't know anything.
I feel
so
like
it's
I'm
like
about to learn new things,
yeah,
about you.
It was like starting from scratch. So like literally coming to school and not speaking any English, and my teacher's calling home like, she's still speaking French. We don't understand that kind of thing. Yeah. So yeah. And then so from 8, I pretty much was in America for, and now I'm in my 20s.
Getting old. Where do you live now?
So I am now living in Houston, Texas. After graduating college, I decided to just start something different, do something different. And
remember.
Yeah, it was a bold move, but...
So, but what?
But I did it.
That's exactly where I wanted to start things off. Like, how did you make the decision to move to another state?
Mm-hmm.
And how did you get your parents to let you do this?
Oh, that was not easy, but... How I decided, I felt like I always wanted to do something different. Like, I was always the outcast, and no matter what, like, whether I was in school, I was not necessarily the outcast, but I was the girl who was friends with everybody. And it's like, you know, like, so in elementary school, I had a diverse group of friends, which opened my eyes to many different things, like, even accepting my culture, but still being able to be open to like other people's cultures and other people's things and always being intrigued by it. I love traveling. So I guess that was another thing too, just like wanting to be like on the go kind of thing. And then living in a major city like New York, like at the time I just was up for anything kind of thing. But when I was in college, I decided that I wanted something new after I graduated college, like a year before that, and I was just like, I think I want to move out of New York. I'm tired of New York. I want to like go somewhere, you know? But it wasn't easy because one, I had to convince my boyfriend we're still together, but I had to convince him that I wanted to move somewhere, and not really realizing like, oh shoot, like the relationship is about to be over. And the hardest part ever was like my parents, like African parents, Soninke parents, Muslim parents, not married, moving to a whole new state with a man that I'm not married to. It was hard. It was hard.
So how did you tell them? What did you tell them? What did this conversation even look like?
So the first step was talking. I felt like I had to like slowly introduce them to me wanting something different. So like I said, like the year before, I already knew like I don't want to be in New York for long. So I would always just like, let's say we're sitting down watching TV and I'm like, oh, look, that's pretty cool. This person went and did something different and they like moved to a whole thing. What do you guys think about that? Like, would you guys be okay with one of us, you know, like I never went away for college. So I felt like that was my excuse too. Like, because I didn't go away for college, which, you know, my brother did or whatever. Mm-hmm. I never went away for college. So I feel like this is my chance of getting away. Like, And it's not to run away, but it was like a chance of like exposing myself to something different. Whereas I saw like you go away, like upstate to college.
That was not easy.
Girl. And that, I bet, yeah. And like seeing a lot of like African women, like girls go to college, like away from home was kind of like an inspiration for me to move away to a different city. Mm-hmm. But like I said, I didn't go away for college at the time. So I did my undergrad in New York, staying at home, working and things like that.
I remember my mom reminding me that you stayed and why I couldn't stay.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I think I am. Yeah.
And I feel like it's always like that. I feel like it's like our parents are always like, look at so and so.
Yeah, look at Sophie. She's here. She's in a house.
Exactly.
She's working.
Exactly. And little did she know that I already had a plan. So like when I would watch TV, I would like slowly try to get into my dad's head. I feel like my dad has always been the more understanding parent. Even though he's very big on education, he's very big on like the culture and, you know, religion too, like praying and, you know, keeping your relationship with Allah, God. But he was a little bit more understanding, you know, whereas my mom was like, she pretty much just like went by the book of tradition, you know, and it's like, no, we don't do this because you're a woman and you're this, you know. And I had to respect her for that too. But I felt like the way to get through my mom was to get through my dad first. Mm-hmm. So I started having that conversation with my dad. Like, oh, so what do you think about, you know, this? Like, I never went away for college. So I'm thinking about this. Now, funny story, I had to get a job before going to Houston. Because that was my gateway. Like, I was like, okay, I got my college degree. I want to teach. This is the best time to find a teaching job outside of the city and use that as my way to get to that city.
I tried to use that way too. My mom was like, no.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, my mom said.
I was like, Sophie's going to be there. She was like, that don't mean you going.
Right,
like,
right. And my mom was like, just because you got the job doesn't mean you have to take it, pretty much. So telling my dad, it was like, oh, it's an opportunity, you know. And I literally had to pitch it to him, like pitch the idea of like going and teaching and like, I'm finally going to be able to teach. I'm going to do what I love to do. I got my degree in this. This is why I should go. And he's still like, eh, I don't know. Talk to your mom about it.
Knowing exactly what your mom's going
to say. Yes, yes. And I remember when I told my mom, she was just like, nope. She didn't even want to hear it. She was just like, uh-uh. No.
So then how did you go from that to I'm booking my flight and I'm leaving?
First of all, I was just like, I was trying, it was funny because I was just like trying to let her know, like, I kind of made it seem like the job was only created for me. Like, nobody was in the world to do that job but me, kind of thing. But at the same time, she said no. But then I had to talk to my dad again to like try to convince her. So my dad had a conversation with her and I was like, just trust me. Like, if it doesn't work out, just because I'm moving to a new city, it doesn't mean that I'm disconnecting from my culture. It doesn't mean that I'm disconnecting from you guys, you know? And she still wasn't for it, but I had to do it. Like, I had to. She was disappointed. You know, we had the whole spiel talking of her, like, no, you're not going to go kind of thing. And I still had to do it. And I felt bad at the moment because I'm just like, dang, like, I kind of don't want to seem like I'm disrespecting her. But at the same time, I have goals for myself. Like, I respect you as my mother and I respect you for all you've done to me. But, and you have goals for me, but I have goals for myself too, you know? And it's like, let's try to meet each other in the middle. So let me go. And like, you know, like, I'll tell you, like, if it doesn't work out, I can come home kind of thing, you know?
So when you were leaving, there was still not like full support. Like, they weren't super happy for you when you were leaving.
Yeah, well, when I was leaving, I can truly say that my dad was on board at that point.
And he knew you were leaving with your
mom.
Yeah,
he knew. It was the funniest thing ever. We had lunch with my boyfriend. Like, I had to, like...
When you told me this, and to this day, I cannot even imagine.
Yeah.
And if any of you that are listening are from where we're from, you understand why this sounds unbelievable, right? Like, sounds like something from, like, a TV show. Mm-hmm. Like, you had... Lunch. First of all,
we had lunch.
Our parents don't go out for lunch.
Thank you.
So that y'all had lunch. Y'all met somewhere, had lunch.
Yeah.
With your boyfriend.
Yeah, we did. And
you're a hero.
We went, girl. It was hard. It was hard. We went to lunch and I literally like was like, oh gosh, this is gonna go left. Like, my dad was literally sitting there talking about marriage the whole time. Like, he's like, in our culture, we don't just get up. Like, he was literally letting him know, like, this is not, like, you're not about to go off with my daughter kind of thing. But then at the same time, I think the way the conversation went, like, he walked away from it with a different mindset, he was still not for it, kind of thing. Like, it was just like, marriage should be the first thing. Like, you don't just up and leave with a man, which I totally understand. Like, one thing that I'm learning now is, like, I'm learning to understand my parents and to love them where they are, you know? Because, like, a lot of times I feel like with their case, in terms of culture, tradition, and things like that, they feel like they have to mold us to be what they expect us mentally, like, from, like, their mental picture of us, you know? And granted, yes, when you have a kid, like, you want the best for your child. You want, you know, but I feel like sometimes they think that the only way that their child is going to come out good is if they mold them to be what they wanted their child to be, instead of, like, letting your child make that decision for themselves, you know, within the culture even. Like, and it doesn't mean that you're losing a sense of identity. It just means that, if anything, I'm doing you a favor. Like, I am willing to take all the responsibility. And, you know, but I know there's reputation that goes with that. I know there's, like, shame that goes with that within the culture. So I kind of try to understand them, too, and meet them where they are, too. But, yeah, girl, lunch, boyfriend, get the money.
Boyfriend.
What is a boyfriend, right? But, yeah. And I think what helped him was the fact that, like, the guy that I am with is so understanding, too. So he listened in, and he was trying to see where my father was coming from, too. So when the conversation was going on, he was validating what my dad was saying. So it's not like he was like, oh, like, I feel da da da. No, he was very understanding. He was very patient. He was very like, okay, I may not have been through it, or I may not be part of, like, necessarily that culture, but I do understand why you feel the way you do, you know? And he made it clear in terms of what his intentions were, you know? And granted, we're still not married yet, but, you know, like, his intentions was like, I see Sophie as my partner, you know, and I respect her, and I respect you as her father, you know? And, like, even you being out here with us, I respect that too. And he just, like, he kind of comforted my dad while my dad was saying the things he felt strongly about, you know? And a lot of times, usually when it's like the culture being put on someone who's not familiar with the culture, it's kind of like, oh dang, y'all got it rough, mm-hmm. or like, you know.
Yeah,
but he's more so like the listener and the person who validates it. Yeah. So I felt like when that happened, my dad was like, oh, okay,
I trust. He was ready for a fight. Yeah, and it wasn't a fight.
Yeah, he was, my dad was literally waiting for the fight, and he was like throwing the idea of marriage and like, no, you don't leave until you marry my daughter, kind of thing. And like, even then you have to convert, you have to do these things. Like, my dad was giving him like hurdles, and he's like, okay, I'll do it. Okay, I'll do that. Okay, I'll do that. And granted, he did everything that he told my dad he would do when it came to, I mean, like, we're still not married yet, but when it came to, like, converting, he eventually converted when we moved and stuff like that. And I think that's what kind of like helped in that situation. My mom, though, that's a whole nother ballgame. My mom was just like, no, 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 no. Like, I remember even my undergrad graduation, like, my mind was already made up, and my mom was just like, no, you're still not going.
Yeah.
And my boyfriend came to the graduation. That was a whole other thing. My mom didn't even want to, like, shake his hand. Like,
you are so, yeah, bold.
Yeah. But I had to do it. And I felt like the commonality of all of that was love. Like, I felt like even if my parents were retaliating against my beliefs, I had to understand that they felt like I was retaliating against their beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to find something that was common in all of that, and that was love. Like, that was, like, literally, beautiful. Yeah, and that, it sounds beautiful, but it's a challenge. It's hard. Mm. It's you being consistent, too, in who you are. I think that's what helped the journey, too. So, like, I would say that I was, like, we were talking about it, like, I was, like, the golden child. So no one expected Sophie to be the person to, like, be with someone outside of the culture. No one expected Sophie to even go to college. Like, they probably just thought, like, you get married, you start popping babies, kind of thing. And I'm just like, no, I have not better, because granted, that is the culture. That's part of the culture. And it's
beautiful.
Yeah, and it's beautiful. Yeah, it is beautiful. And I wanted them to understand that I still want that, but I still want something else too. Like, I want both. Like, and I think I can do it.
I think to that, I would say, I think that our parents don't believe that we can have both.
Yeah.
I think they live in a very either or
mm-hmm.
like perspective on mm-hmm. life, and they don't understand that mm-hmm. no, I can do the things that you think are important mm-hmm. and I understand because I also agree that these are important, but I can mm-hmm. also do the things that exactly. I feel are important.
Yep.
And it's possible because this is America,
right? Exactly.
It's not either or, it's and,
right? And I feel like sometimes too it has to do with our parents' way of seeing America too, because it's like, okay, we came to America for better opportunities, but you never lose who you are. And they feel like if we venture out to other things and start adding other things within who we are, like, they see it as, like, that's a sense of distraction, or that's gonna take you to the like, that's gonna take you down the wrong path. You're gonna forget who you are. You're gonna forget your culture. You're not, you know, you're not gonna wanna be part of your culture kind of thing. And it's like, who's to say how Soninke you are? Who's to say how
and to be
African you are?
And
you know?
To be honest, like, culture changes.
Exactly.
And I always say, y'all didn't think about this when mm-hmm. you came to America because mm-hmm. you had one goal, and yep. I get it. It was to take care of your families mm-hmm. and all that. Mm-hmm. But this is I don't want to say it's the repercussions because that makes it negative, but this is mm-hmm. just the result. Us and the way we communicate, our identity, mm-hmm. the decisions we make, all of that is mm-hmm. a result of mm-hmm. their decision
yep.
to come to America. Like, mm-hmm. it's impossible to think that we would not be affected by it. Mm-hmm. And I try to talk to my mom, my uncle, and some of my friends' parents, and I'm like, do you understand that 8 hours of the day for years, we were outside of the home? Mm-hmm. Do you understand that we watch TV and movies and we have friends? Like, mm-hmm. we can't just be exactly like how you guys mm-hmm. are. I think they need I think they're starting to get it also because yeah. they're getting older.
Yeah.
I think uh-huh. it's like the fight is like,
it's like, yeah.
it's like wearing down.
Yeah. And I feel like what wins all of it is like unconditional love, like at the end of it. And believe it or not, even if your African parents don't tell you that they love you, they love you.
They
do. And they show you that they love you. They don't tell you that they love you, but they show you that they love you. And now it's up to you to define how you can bring more love into that, you know? So for me, like I said, it was like more so like, okay, my mom's going to be mad at me. My mom is probably not going to call me. I'm going to call my mama. And in general, like, that's the culture. Like, you don't wait for your parents to call you. You call your parents, you know? And so for me, it was like still being consistent in that, still calling my parents when things were going left. And even till this day, like, still checking in on them. When I see something, when I, you know, see something that reminds me of them, I send it to them, like, you know, like, as a way of like, oh, remember this, but that's my way of saying like, I'm thinking of you, you know? So I had to find my own way of showing them how to show love, kind of, you know?
That is beautiful.
And yeah, it's beautiful, but it was really, really challenging. And it's, you're thinking about your parents, but you're also thinking about the community that you're part of. And everyone is kind of like, it's a small circle too. Mm-hmm. So no matter whether you're from Senegal, whether you're from Gambia, like, if you're Soninke, like, you know somebody who knows somebody who knows somebody who knows somebody. And then before you know it, like, your business is like
out in the streets.
Out left. Yes. And you're just like, wait, this is telephone. Like, because that is not how it happened. But mm-hmm. somehow, like, you got that information about me, you know? And like, some people probably saw it as like, oh, she ran away from her family. No.
You just ran towards yourself.
Yeah. I ran towards myself. Literally. Amen to that. I ran towards myself. And I had to do my self-discovery. And I had to learn how to love them. But if I didn't leave, I probably would have never learned how to love them. I probably would have found...
resented them.
Exactly. And I would have found ways better, quote-unquote, better ways of retaliating. Like, oh, okay, so you guys didn't let me leave? All right, so now I'm going to do this. So now I'm going to do this. And that's just going to be like, or I would have just been miserable.
Miserable, 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 miserable.
Miserable.
So we're going to come back and talk more.
Okay.
But this was just part one of Sophie's story. Oh, isn't it good? I hope that you're picking up some gems. I hope you're picking up what she is putting down. And I hope for some of you that are listening to this, it resonates and it helps you in whatever situation that you're dealing with, because mm-hmm. I know we all have similar home structures, but mm-hmm. we're all dealing with it in different ways. Yeah. But we'll be right back. Mm-hmm. And we are back. So now we're going to get further deeper into the story, into your story. Mm-hmm. And whatever you don't feel comfortable with answering, you can just let me know. We can stop.
Okay.
So I want to talk to you about the pregnancy. Mm-hmm. What were your first thoughts when you found out I'm pregnant because I'm in the stage of crazy baby fever right now. Mm. So what were your, what was the, because I don't even know what I'm going to think first.
Yeah.
And I'm like, who do you call first?
Yeah.
Like, what is the first thought? Like, your life is about to drastically flip upside down.
Right.
What were your first thoughts?
So, the first thought of being pregnant was like, what the hell are my parents going to think?
That was the first
yeah,
thought.
Yeah, like, as a 20-something-year-old, I thought, like, as a grown-ass woman, I thought, like, my parents are going to kill me. Like, I went back into that, like child, yeah, teen mentality,
yeah,
of, like, oh, my God. Because the reality is, I am not married, mm-hmm, you know? And that's another thing in the Sonin Kid community is, like, no, you don't do that. Like, that's...
Period.
You're breaking...
Even though they do it.
Yeah.
Like...
Yeah, people don't talk about it. It happens.
Now that I'm older, like, yeah, the tea that's been spilled, yeah, I'm like, what? Yeah. I did not know. Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. They do it.
Yeah, they do it. They do it. They don't talk about it. So-and-so has a baby. Nobody announces even that the child has been born. Or nobody in the immediate family even calls an auntie to say so-and-so had a baby, because it's just not something we do. But granted, if your child who is married has a kid and is married, oh, the whole France is going to know. The whole Spain, the whole Senegal and Gambia is going to know, you know? But yeah, that was the first thought in my head. I was like, oh my gosh, my parents are going to kill me. Like, what the hell do I do now? But abortion was not an option for me. I was just like, nope, not doing that. So I, of course, told my partner first, and he was excited, and he was just like, well, we'll be good. Like, he's just so chill, which sometimes I hate that about him, but, like, I love it at the same time, because I'm the anxious one, and he's the calm, chill one.
Same.
So it's like
same.
A balance, you know? Yeah. So I'm like, oh, my gosh, babe, like, we're not married. And he's like, I know. It's like, and I'm like, yeah. So that's, like, a no-no. That's, like, no-no. But yeah,
he probably was like, Sophie, at this point, we've crossed the bridge of right, the no-nos. Right. Let's just keep on
yeah,
going.
Yeah. So I think a lot of it too had to do with responsibility. Mm-hmm. Like at that moment, I had to take self-responsibility, you mm-hmm. know, like I had to be like, okay, I have to tell my parents, you know, like my parents are not going to hear through so-and-so that I had a kid. Like I want to be the first person to call my mom and let her know. And it's not going to be an easy conversation.
What was that like? Like
that was the hardest.
What are words? How do you even, like, honestly, the idea of even speaking those mm-hmm. words, like, what did you say?
Honestly, so I told her, what did I do? Oh, I gave her, like, a long, like, you know, like, the runaround. So first I was like, okay, Ma, I'm going to call you in a few. I got to talk to you about... I sent her a voice note on WhatsApp, you know. Mm-hmm. Sonika's a WhatsApp. Nakali WhatsApp ng kama.
WhatsApp ng WhatsApp.
So I told her on WhatsApp. I sent her a voice. Knew. She did. Yeah, she did.
She's like, what else do you have to talk to me about?
Yeah, I feel like she did. Because the way the conversation went was just like, okay, yeah, I feel like she already probably is going to know. And the thing is, my mom has like levels, tones of like talking. So... when you're talking, when she has a certain tone, it's like she's joking with you. She has a certain tone for when she's serious with you. Mm-hmm. And so I just, and then she has a tone for like when she knows something, but she's waiting for you to tell her mm-hmm. kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So that's the tone she used with me. So she didn't even, I told her that I would call her. She called me.
She was like, we're yeah. not going to play these no games. Like,
yeah. So she called me and she's like, hello? She's like, Korujamiyari. And I said, yeah, kind of, sort of, like, you know. And then so she's like, so I was telling her, I was like, okay, so I went to the doctor's and I didn't have my period. Like, I was just giving, like I literally was not even going in order. I was just like, I went to the doctor's. I wasn't having my period. Something was off. So I went. I haven't been feeling well. And da-da-da-da. I took a test. They told me I'm pregnant.
They said it.
They said it.
Somebody just let me know right? that there's a like, pregnancy happening.
I had
just,
nothing to do with it.
Those people said I'm pregnant. I'm just letting you know what I heard. Yeah. I heard that I was pregnant.
But you know what? Actually, before I even said they said that I was pregnant, she's like, you're pregnant? Like, she just like...
She said, you're pregnant.
Yeah, she's like, so you're pregnant. And I was like, yeah. I'm pregnant. They said I'm pregnant.
What was her response?
She was quiet, and then she's like, okay. She's like, what am I, like, because she, I think she had to collect her own thoughts, too. Like, so she's like, what, how do I tell this to your father? That's one. Two, how are the people going to see it? Mm-hmm. Then she reminded me, like, you're not even married, you know? Like, this is not, like, it's like a no-no, you know? Mm. Like, she literally reminded me. I'm like, gee, thanks, Ma. Like, you know? But at the same time, I think at that same moment, she didn't cuss me out. She didn't do any of that. Like, I think she knew, but she just, like I said, she was waiting for me to say it. But the funny thing is, when I told her that I was pregnant, I didn't tell her until after New York. Remember, I came to New York in that month, and I didn't tell her. But my mom literally made my favorite dish, and I was craving it. My mom went out, like, bought the fish. I was craving fish and a chicken, and like the sauce, the onion sauce, everything. I wanted it spicy. I wanted everything. My mom went in. Like, made my favorite dish. Like, I had extras to take with me home, kind of thing. Like, to Brooklyn, to my brother's house, kind of thing. So, but she was extra catery, which is weird. Because usually you go to your parents' house, you still got to serve yourself. And you're still, like, back home. So, it's like you're back into that, mm-hmm. that system, mm-hmm. you know? So, yeah. So, she was, like, you know, but before, like I said, she was making me all, she made my favorite dish.
That's another way they show you that they love you. Yeah. It's like little things like that.
Yeah. And the guilt was eating me up at that moment, but I was like, no.
And at that time, you knew.
Yeah. Okay. And I was like, I can't tell her yet. I'm going to wait till I get to Houston. Then I'll call her, you know, and then I'll tell her because it's like, you know. But like I said, like her tone wasn't bad. It wasn't negative. She did think about what other people had to say. She was like, oh, what are your aunts going to say? Blah, blah, blah. And then I'm like, Ma, I literally told her on the phone, Ma, I'm telling you because I want you to know because you're my mom. I wanted you to know before anybody, you know? And she's just like, okay. And then she made duas, you know, and she's just like, well, if this is what God intended, that's like literally all she could say. Like, this is what God intended. And then in between that days, she would call me and you can tell she's battling it. Because now it's like, what do people have to say?
And she's blah, like blah, blah. Angry and upset. Yeah. And like, she had also all... like, my daughter's having a baby. Yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah.
So it's like,
and yeah, she's like, did you go to your appointment? Did you go to another, like, are you going to another appointment?
Like, she wants you to be healthy and yeah. be safe. You're about to become a mother. Yeah. But then it's like, like, is this how we do things? Yeah. I cannot even imagine.
She had to process everything for her too. And I had to, in the process of her questioning questioning like, everything, like how people would react to it.
I was about to interrupt.
Okay.
Sorry for the interruption. My husband is about to interrupt our podcast Hello. Recording, so I'm gonna be right back. And we're back. So your mom is processing everything. Mm-hmm. Your dad.
My dad.
So your dad was the one that was on board with you moving.
Right, but he wasn't. He had a whole
so it was like reverse
yeah reverse pretty
oh,
much
oh wow
yeah it reversed.
This is multi-layered. Yeah, Sophie, you could write a book,
girl.
This is
yeah,
you're gonna help a lot of people.
Yeah, so with my dad, she was like, okay, I'm gonna have to tell your dad. I was like, I at that point, like I said, responsibility was key for me, so I was like, I'll tell my dad, like, because I felt like she was already in, like, I felt like I hurt her at that moment, but I couldn't go back. So I felt like the only way...
I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Go.
Yeah, so with my dad, like I said, I wanted to, like, hold that responsibility still. So I was just like, I'll tell my dad. Like, let me, you know, like, save you from this pain part, you know? Because a lot of times, too, in the culture, you have to remember that whatever the woman, like, whatever, however the children come out, it's the mother's fault.
Yeah,
like, if it's bad, it's the mother's fault.
Yeah, it's so, really terrible.
Yeah, so, mm-hmm. And that was, like, painful because I felt like she had to take on the news, but she also had to take on how my dad would react. Mm-hmm. And when I told her that I would tell my dad, she was like, no, I still have to tell your father. Like, I have to tell your father. So I let her, and then she let me know, like, that the response wasn't so good. She was like, oh, your father pretty much was disappointed. Like, he's just disappointed. And I had to let him be disappointed. I couldn't persuade anybody to feel any different, you know? So
whether how did that make you feel though?
It made me feel at that moment I felt like, dang, like I am about to cause like the worst like pain to both of my parents, which was never my intention. And then at the same time I had to think like, but like I'm willing to take the responsibility. Like I am trying to tell you guys that I want to take that responsibility, but it's not like that. That's not how things are. Like, yeah. As much as I was thinking that at the moment, that's not how things are. Like, you are taking the responsibility by saying what the reality is, but it's your parents that have to carry that on. Like, when people are shaming behind closed doors and, you know, trying to ruin your parents' reputation and stuff, that's going to take a toll on your parents, you know? Mm-hmm. But for me, it was like... For me, that was like... It was like... At this point, then they had to reevaluate, too. Like, they had to reevaluate, like, does my daughter matter more than these people? Or do these people matter more than my child? You know? And that's what it was. Like, but granted, yeah, my dad was disappointed. And I can say that majority of my pregnancy, we barely talked. Like, we talked, like, here and there. But it was very awkward. Because growing up, I was a daddy's girl, too. So you got to take that into consideration. Like... I went from, like, talking to my dad every single day, sending good morning texts, because he finally got an iPhone. So I was like, yes, my daddy got an iPhone. And then, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
This is such, like, I'm so inspired by your story. I'm so serious. Like, just the way you've dealt with everything. Mm-hmm. So now we've gotten the background, we've gotten the context, we've gotten the hard part. Mm-hmm. So now we need to talk about getting to the other side of things. Mm-hmm. Like, where are you now with your parents? How mm-hmm. are things going? Mm-hmm. All that stuff.
Right.
And if you hear anything in the background, I'm so sorry, y'all. You guys already know what it is. My husband is in the apartment. So there's but so much I can do with this man. So you're going to hear his Jamaican tunes in the background. I'm trying my best, though. Let's get the listens up so I can get a studio. Till then, BRB with more of Sophie's story. So now let's talk about where things are now. Ava mm-hmm. is here. Mm-hmm. She's beautiful. Thank you. She is loved. She's how many months old now?
7.
She's 7 months old. Where are things now with your parents, mm-hmm. your relationship, and your feelings about yourself? So let's start with the parents, because that's the mm-hmm. the toughest part. How are things with your mom? How are mm-hmm. things with your dad?
I would say that things are definitely... great. It's weird because I never thought I would get to this point. Like, I just always thought, like, even if after having the kid and even them seeing the kid, it's gonna be like, okay, well, we still feel the same way, you know? You still are breaking tradition and you're still, you know, didn't do things the right way kind of thing. But surprisingly, like, my relationship with my mom is so much closer now. Like, we talk every single day when I'm back home. She wants pictures, like, every day. Like, she calls her Google. Long story behind that. She's like, oh, Google mo ko. Okay, futong ka inda nga. Blah, blah, blah. And then, like, if I say, okay, I'm going to send you a picture, and I don't send her a picture, it's like, you told me you were going to send me a picture. You still haven't sent me a picture. Like, aww. I'm waiting for my picture. Videos. Like, she wants everything. And then after I had the baby, she came to Houston. And it was like... I just thought it was going to be, like, the most awkward thing, but it was just, like, filled with love.
How did that happen? You invited her, or she was like, yeah. I want
to
come?
Well, no, she told me she wanted to come. And her and my aunt, like, was like, yeah. But, like, and my aunt called me and was just like, yeah, your mom, like, you have to understand. And my aunt is also a big gap in between that, because my aunt was, like, the bridge. Like, she understands the culture, and she also understands that we weren't, like, we were raised in a different country, you know? Mm-hmm. So that country...
Is she younger or something?
Yeah,
she...
she's younger. So that the country is going to have an influence on our upbringing. So she's, like, that person. Like, whenever I need to vent... Like, I don't tell her so that she could tell my mom, but she lets my mom understand my perspective, too. So my aunt was just like, you know, like, your mom really loves you. Like, the reason why she feels the way she feels is because she loves you. Like, you also have to understand that. She's like, but I also tried to let her understand that... You also love her. And it doesn't mean that because you chose to do what you did, or because life took on what happened, like, it doesn't mean that you hate, that you hate her or that you love her any less. Like, she also has to understand that. It's like, okay, now everything happened, so where are we gonna go from here, you know? So that's how my aunt is. Like, she's just like, okay, we're in the here and now. What are we gonna do now to make it better, mm-hmm. you know? So my aunt was just like, yeah, she's gonna come out and she's gonna see you and respect her, blah, blah, blah. Like, she's like, still love her. And I remember, like, even during my pregnancy, like, she would be like, call your mother anyways. Call your father anyways. It's hard, call them anyways. And I found myself calling them when it was the hardest time. Like, whenever I had a hard, like, when I'm like, oh, gosh, they're about to say something else. Like, that's when I picked up the phone and called them. Because I felt like, when am I ever going to get comfortable? Because my mindset was like, I'll wait till I'm comfortable. And that's not how it happened. So I just was like, okay, when I'm feeling at that peak, like, of uncomfort or discomfort.
Yeah.
That's when I should call my parents.
I admire that you've been able to do that, because even me now mm-hmm. living here, like, just having this conversation with you makes me want to call my mom. Like, mm-hmm. I'm not a phone call person. Me like, too. I love everyone, but, like, I don't call. Like, yeah. I just don't pick up the phone yeah. and call. And, like, mm-hmm. I have to put reminders on my phone to call my mom. Yep. And she gets mad that that's the case. But, like, mm-hmm. I just go on with life and mm-hmm. I will not talk to her for, like, a week. And people mm-hmm. are like, you could go a week without talking to your mom? Mm-hmm. I'm like... yeah, and I don't mean, I'm just so wrapped up in trying to get my life together right. that mm-hmm. I don't call.
Yeah.
And I can't imagine calling her when things were not good. Like,
yeah.
Like, and it's I admire that.
Like, yeah, and I feel like at that time too, I would call her like at least every other day. Like, I had to push myself to do it. And sometimes my anxiety was up there. Like, I was just like, oh gosh, like.
And then when you're done with the call, it's like, it wasn't even that.
Yeah,
you feel good. That's how I feel now with my husband's family, because, you know, my saranghule isn't the greatest. Mm-hmm. So I'd be like, I don't call, and I feel like some of them take it some type of way. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it's because I don't even know what to talk to you about.
Right.
And, like, I literally keep avoiding it, because I'm like, mm-hmm. our conversations, this is whole thing is awkward because I don't know what to say. Mm-hmm. My saranghule isn't even that strong. We can't even have a great long yeah. conversation. Mm-hmm. The only time my saranghule is good when I'm making fun and I'm pretending to be an auntie, like, you know, so.
Oh my gosh.
So that's interesting. Now I'm going to definitely, what I'm learning mm-hmm. from this conversation is, like, when I'm feeling that awkwardness, like, just call. Do it.
That's the best
time. Just call everybody. Yeah.
And sometimes when you call, like, 9 times out of 10, when you call your parents, they're talking most of the time. So it's like, I literally call them. I say hi, you know, like, okay, what are you up to kind of thing. They take on the rest of the conversation. So that was like another thing that helped me too, you know. But yeah, now it's definitely better. My dad, he's still trying to understand it, you know. And his thing is like, okay, now when are you getting married? Like, when are you guys getting married?
Like, do you feel like there's a pressure to get married ASAP?
No. That's one thing. Like, I feel like, I mean, yes, there is a pressure, but I feel like also they're respecting the process. Like, I feel like they're respecting the pace that we're going at, because I've always wanted to be the person who, like, if I get married, I want to get married at nature's course. Like, I don't want to get married because it's like so-and-so telling me it's time for you to get married, you right. know? Mm-hmm. Like, I wanted to get married, like, nature's course. And I am a hopeless romantic. Like, I believe in love. I will fight for love kind of thing. Mm. So I never wanted to be married just to be married. Just right. to be like, I get... like, and granted, you are more respected in the community when you are married.
Totally.
Yeah.
I tell everyone, like, my whole marriage mm-hmm. situation, I literally... it's an initiation. Mm. I was initiated that mm-hmm. week, mm-hmm. all that cultural stuff, because mm-hmm. I was in it, but I was also watching myself experience it from, like, out of my mm-hmm. body, and I was like, I'm being initiated. Mm-hmm. Like, the way they spoke, the way they look at you is mm-hmm. completely different.
Yeah, and I feel like sometimes I feel like no matter what you do in the culture, it's probably, like, it's always, somebody's always going to question what you do.
Definitely,
right? So let's say you get married, right? Because everybody's like, oh, you're not married yet, you're not married. You get married, it's like, oh, you didn't have a kid yet. When are you
that's
having
exactly
a kid?
Where
when
I
are you
am
having
right
a kid?
Now.
Then you have a kid, it's like, oh, when is your kid gonna get married? You know,
or not even, it's like you only got one. You
yeah.
still only have one.
Like, when are like you why are you
daughter.
Waiting a
you
year?
Need, you
like,
need to have another child.
Yeah, like multiply.
Yeah.
And you know,
then that's over. It's like, you need to go to Hiju. You got to send your parents to Mecca. You need to build a, like, it's just like, it's like they have this checklist. Mm-hmm. And we've been, like, in a space where it's always about marriage. And then you realize that the list is really long.
It goes on. It doesn't stop. So I've always wanted to make sure that if I go by that list, I go at it at nature's course, at my pace. Not just me. Like, I don't want it to be... I also want people who are listening, like, to understand that I'm not making it just about me. I'm making it so that I don't put myself, because I'm big on mental health too. So I don't want to be that depressed woman who is pleasing everybody because I was once that yes person, you know? So at this point in my life, I'm learning how to say no. I'm learning how to be, to say no, but also I'm learning how to be consistent. I'm learning how to, like, just, this is what, okay, I don't care what so-and-so's child is doing. I don't care what so-and-so is up to. Good for them. You know, I pray that things go well for them, kind of thing. But my pace, this is what helps me grow. And this is the process. It doesn't mean that I'm retaliating against the culture. It doesn't mean anything. It just means that within me, like, you also, because a lot of times we focus on the culture, but not the religion too, right? And a lot of people say, yes, I'm Soninke and I identify as a Muslim person and whatnot. And it's like, sometimes we throw out the religion when it's convenient for the culture. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we throw out the culture when it's convenient for the religion, you know? So I'm learning how to, first of all, I have to learn how to balance the two because it's not easy, right? And then at the same time, I'm learning to, like, process everything in. Like, I'm learning to, like, don't do it just because everybody else is doing it. Do it because this is what Allah has intended for you, you know?
So with all of that being said, and now thinking about the religion, how have you dealt with all of this while still being Muslim, if that even makes sense? Like, how have you, like, mentally, emotionally, and or spiritually dealt with all the decisions that you've made with consideration to the religion that you've been raised in? Because we all know what the culture does, but what about the religious aspect of it? Because I'm pretty sure people that are, some of the people that follow me that are listening, they're like hijabis, they're like super religious,
and I understand.
So, like, how do you deal with that part, or how are you dealing with that part of things?
I feel like this experience actually brought me a little closer to spirituality. Like, I feel like it's opened my eyes more. When I pray, I'm not only praying for myself anymore. I'm praying for myself, but I'm also praying for my parents. I'm praying for my child, you know, because I'm bringing a child into this world who didn't ask for that, you know? And so I have to pray for her protection, you know? And I have to pray that whatever God, you know, has planned for her are all great things, which I know they are, but also keeping Satan away, you know? Because a lot of times we think that Satan is just, like, spirits, right? But sometimes Satan is, like, the words that come out of people's mouths.
Dang.
Like, that literally is it. So it's like, I don't want my child to ever walk in a shadow. I will never put my child in a shadow just because of somebody else's beliefs and the way they view the culture or they view the religion, in this sense that now that we're talking about religion. So it definitely brought me closer to God. I make sure that, you know, I pray. I make sure that I, you know, say surahs at the end of the night in her ears before I go to bed, you know, when I'm putting her clothes on her, saying bismillah, and me saying it, and it's helping me practice more so that she can see it. So that it becomes natural for her, too, to have a close relationship with God. People are going to walk in and out of your life, but God is not, you know? So that's how I see it. And
that's wonderful.
Yeah, and I think, like, the consistency is key through all of it, whether it's spirituality, whether it's, like, practice, anything. It's just, like, you being consistent in who you are, and people are going to get tired of talking.
They really will. Like,
you're the hot topic for the year. Not even the year.
Were not a hot topic for a year. Yeah. I don't even think it was a year. Yeah. I don't think it was a long topic. Exactly. Because there's already so many other things going on.
Exactly. So it's like, did you hear about so-and-so? Oh, no. Oh, girl. Yeah.
Yeah, especially I think nowadays it's kind of like Sasa. Like, you know, nowadays, like, these girls, they just do whatever they want. I think they're getting tired.
Yeah.
I mean, they need to. They need to
pipe down. And I hope they do get tired. Like, I hope they take the focus off other people, because 9 times out of 10, if you have the time to sit down and talk about somebody else's life and about how somebody chooses to live their life or how somebody is living their lives and saying negative things about it, you are bringing that negative light into yourself and you are being that negative person, you know? And you don't realize it, but you are the most insecure person in the world. Like, you don't realize it. Mm. And so a lot of times it's like, okay, well, ask yourself, what good is this doing for me? If Sophie decides to have a kid out of wedlock, right? If Sophie decides to be with somebody who is not out of the culture, which, if anything, I'm bringing value to my culture because I'm taking, and it's way more work. If you think about it, when you're with somebody outside of the culture, it's way more work to try to get them to understand where you come from, to practice the things that you practice.
To respect
it. Yeah, because first of all, you have to teach the person about the culture, the tradition, but mainly the religion, right? The religion is overall. And you then have to be the example to that person. So you already have that pressure on you. It's like, wow, oh,
that is true.
Like, I have to teach them how to pray. I have to teach them how to say surahs. I have to, like, we were going to the masjid and we were taking classes and we were learning about, like, Islam and what being Muslim and what that means. And we had to sit there and, like, read our books, like, when it was, and when read the Quran together. When Ramadan came around, I had to teach him that, like, when you fast, you can't drink water. Like, you can't.
He was like, oh, and he's like,
wait,
nah.
So I can't even drink water? Like, I can't even, you know?
Only a spit?
Yeah, like, pretty much.
Only a saliva.
Like, even then, some people are like, that don't count. And even you're canceling your fasting. But, mm-hmm. Yeah, like, you have to think about it. Like, if you really sit down and think about it, I am doing way more work than the people of my own community.
Yeah.
I'm deciding to take on a bigger challenge that's bigger than me, you know? And at the end of the day,
converting someone is not easy.
Yeah, it's not. Because you're literally trying to, you're not persuading them. You are leading by example. Because it's like, why am I going to do this if you don't do it? Mm. Why am I going to convert if you're not even, like, you know? So it's a lot. And people don't see that. They just see it as like, let's keep it within the community. Let's do this because it's easier that way. I decided to go above and beyond, you know? And it's not easy. It's, you know, but I'm glad that the person that, and it's also like, people also have to realize that you don't take people, you don't add on to your circle or you don't add on to yourself, like, other people, like, that don't bring value to you. So I feel like this person has also taught me a lot about myself, but a lot about how I need to be in the religion as well, you know? So it's like, you are influenced in every way possible. You are challenged in every way possible. Mm-hmm. And it's not easy. It's really not.
Period.
Period. Put a T at the end.
I'm done. Period. Period. Okay, everyone. Thank you so much for listening to Sophie's story. Sophie, thank you so much for doing this. I know it was really impromptu, but I really think it was important for you to share your perspective and how you've navigated adulting your way with our culture and religion and parents and babies and like, all of this was amazing. I hope that it helped someone out there.
Thank you. Say one more thing?
Of course.
Like, I just want to say, like, whatever I'm speaking on, I hope it's like more of an inspiration than like a like someone seeing it as like a way of bashing or a way of like disrespecting or a way of retaliating. I want people to walk away with it, like, even if you're within the culture and within, and you've followed the rules, like, you're doing what you're supposed to do, and you're at that point where you feel like, no matter what I do, I'm not good enough, you have to still be consistent in who you are. Like, take all of that outside and focus on you as the human being. Don't let your situations deter you from who you are as a human being, you know? And I feel like a lot of times people are willing to sacrifice their person, you know? And when I say that, it's like judging too. Like, before you sit there and judge somebody, because it's so easy to be on Instagram or Facebook and scroll through and be like, oh, look at her, look what she's wearing, like, that's not part of the iman, the imam, and like, that's not part of the religion or the culture, like, that's not what we do. Or you're quick to tell the next person, you're already the gossiper, you're already the enabler, you're the person who is, like, whatever sins that is that you claim that that person is committing, you already have put that sin on yourself, if you think about it.
That is true.
So it's like, before you even judge, try to understand somebody else's story. And even when you take it, listen to understand and don't listen to reply. So, yeah, that's it. I enjoyed this.
This was really good. You need let me know when you start your podcast, because I will tune in. So the message of this is to be consistent in who you are. And I can add on to that and say, be clear about who you are and understand who you are. And also, love your parents down. Have empathy.
No matter
respect them and listen to them. Even when you're choosing yourself, and even in moments where they feel like you are not respecting them, always move with respect and integrity in the decisions that you make. We're not saying go out here and move to another state and go have a baby.
Don't do what I did.
Like, that's not, if you find yourself in that situation because it makes sense, then you know what? That's what it is. But this is not to, I just want to make sure that it's clear that this is not to promote. Sophie has shared her story and what she's learned. That does not mean that she is promoting any of this behavior. Any of the decisions that she made, because she made them for herself. She is clear about who she is. She understands. She was mature enough to do what she did, and also had a safety net. That means she is college educated, has a license, has a degree. Had a partner who was stable and was in a healthy relationship. I'm going to tell you all these things because I know some of you are young that listen to me. And I was just going to end it, but I'm glad you like added that note, because I guess, like, even for me on my platform, I don't want to glorify any type of behavior that doesn't align with the religion and the culture. If that's not a part of who you, you are, you don't have to be like me. You don't have to be like Sophie to be happy. We're also saying that you can make your own path, though.
Create your own path. Just that's do what that. It's all about.
Just do that, and you can still be a part of the community. And you can still have the love and respect of your parents. They just might not come around right away. But they will come around, because at the end of the day, they can't unlove us.
Unconditional love.
They cannot unlove us. And I hope that this was helpful for those of you who relate directly to this. And for those of you who are just learning something about our culture, I hope that it gave you some perspective and you found it interesting. With that being said, as always, you are Bomb AF for listening. I will talk to you later. Thank you so much, Sophie, for hopping on my podcast.
No problem.
Stay beautiful. Bye.